Good morning. It's good to see you in worship this morning, and a welcome to those who are joining us online. I should perhaps say, would you like last week's service again, or will I just do this week's? Must have left my papers in the pulpit last week. Anyway, it's good to be here in worship, and I'll ask Kath if she can take us through some of the intimations.
Good morning, everybody. And welcome to our service this morning, especially any newcomers or visitors. Our coffee morning, big thank you to everyone who attended or helped with the coffee morning. The total raised was 200 and, is it 44 now? £48. There are some goodies for sale after worship this morning in the Irene Patterson room. So there are some pepper plants, a little bit of baking, and bric-a-brac. The walking group. The next outing is this afternoon to Town Hill Lock with the usual coffee stop. Meet in the church car park at 2 p.m. so you can contact Maureen Black on 01383 881872 for any information, or you can speak to her because she's in church this morning. Next Sunday there will be a retiring collection for Christian Aid, and what I forgot to say, all the monies raised from the coffee morning and this morning will be given to Christian Aid. Kirk session will meet on Wednesday the 21st of May at 7 p.m. The next outing for the cycling club is on Saturday the 24th of May to Kinross and Powell Mill. Please contact Derek on 01383 882190 for information. Joint service at Kuras. We will all take part in a joint service with the West Fife Village congregations on Sunday the 8th of June at 11 a.m. at Kuras Abbey. This may be one of the last services to take place in this historic building. There will be no service in Kearney Hill, nor any Zoom presentation that day. Kearney Hill Gala. Gala week begins on Sunday the 8th of June with a barbecue afternoon in the Manse Garden from 2 to 5 p.m. There will be a seniors afternoon tea in church on Thursday the 12th of June from 1:30 to 3:30 p.m. Gala day itself is Saturday the 14th. The church will have a stall selling crafts, and we will have our, shall I tell, say the joke, any unwanted chocolate dip stall. Please add your name to the list in the vestibule if you can help. So we will be looking for donations of chocolate. These can be brought to church on the 18th or the 25th of May. A full gala program will be available shortly. There are further intimations on the printed sheet. This can be viewed on Facebook or downloaded from our website if you don't have a copy. And finally, for those on Zoom, here is a look at the order of service.
I think the laugh at Derek's expense has never been forgotten, standing up asking for unwanted chocolate and all the shocked faces as if there was such a thing as unwanted chocolate. There's maybe chocolate that we shouldn't be having, but that's a different matter, says he who's on a one size up on waistcoat. We are here to worship Almighty God. On this Sunday, in a week when we have been marking VE Day. So let's sing to God's praise and glory, hymn number 160, Praise My Soul, the King of Heaven.
Thank you.
Let's dedicate our offering. Almighty God, we present our gifts before you, asking your blessing upon them. Receive from us all that we offer of our time, talent, and money, and bless them in their use in the work of the gospel. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. This morning, Kath is going to be leading us in our prayers.
This morning, I am grateful to the resources available on the Church of England website for this morning's prayer of praise, thanksgiving, and confession. Let us pray. Father, we praise you for who you are, the God of peace who sent Jesus to reconcile us to you through his death and resurrection. Lord Jesus, we praise you for suffering on the cross for us and paying the price for all our sin. Gracious God, at this time of commemoration, we give thanks for the courage of those who fought for freedom and peace in Europe. We honour the lives lost, the sacrifices made, and the unity that brought to an end to tyranny. May their legacy inspire us to stand for justice, to seek peace with humility, and to cherish the freedoms we now enjoy. Guide us to be peacemakers in our own time, with hearts of gratitude and hope. And yet, God of peace, we must confess, despite the hard-won peace, we have not always lived up to the ideals of justice, reconciliation, human rights, and unity that the war brought about. We confess we have failed to fully embrace our responsibility to those affected by persecution, violence, and war, and to those who've had to flee from their homelands. We confess the times we have listened to falsehoods and prejudices and allowed divisions and animosity to fester and divide rather than supporting and bringing healing to those suffering loss and pain. We acknowledge our desire to dominate or belittle others, particularly those who are different to us, who do not hold the same opinions as us, rather than upholding the principles of understanding and peace. We confess the times we are unwilling to seek forgiveness and reconciliation. And now a short silence for our own confession. Thank you, God of peace, for your forgiveness through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Guide us as we strive to build a more peaceful and just world. May your Holy Spirit inspire us to act with courage, compassion, and love. Amen.
We're going to sing hymn number 713, Come All Who Look to God Today. There is a sense in which the celebration of the 80th anniversary of VE Day is the celebration that was postponed from 5 years ago. We have a habit of celebrating 25, 50, 75 and 100 anniversary years. The COVID-19 pandemic and lockdown made a 75th remembrance of VE Day almost an impossibility, or at least very much more subdued than it could be. A mere 5 years later, there is a sense of urgency that we do celebrate VE Day. That is, if we are to include the voices of those who were on the front lines when victory in Europe was declared. If we had celebrated the 75th anniversary, 5 years ago there were many more veterans available to tell what it was like that day. The Queen would have stood on the balcony at Buckingham Palace as she had as Princess Elizabeth in 1945. A mere 5 years later, there is an urgency in the need to hear from those who were there. But there is another kind of urgency that our world today is less peaceful than it was 5 years ago. The world of today may not be a world at war, but it is certainly a world of many wars. The world of 5 years ago may have been facing a health crisis, and the world seemed an uncertain place and the future difficult to foresee. But at that time, 5 years ago, as people said, "Oh, isn't life dreadful?" there was a very common comment. Yes, life is not easy, but nobody's trying to kill us. The world of 2020 was not a world at peace. There were wars and conflicts that continued regardless of the pandemic. And those wars that paused for that moment were always likely to restart in a very near future. But which of us anticipated the invasion of Ukraine by Russia? Did anyone foresee the flare-up of war in Israel and Gaza that has led to scenes reminiscent of the destroyed cities of World War II? In these last weeks, tensions between India and Pakistan have led to military action, and in news broadcasts, we have been reminded again and again that India and Pakistan are nuclear powers. There is a ceasefire at the moment, and we hope it will last. And then, of course, there are all the doubts about unity in NATO and tensions in relationships, as much between allies as it is between competing world powers. 5 years ago, we might have been tempted to think of marking VE Day as something to do with history. We would no doubt have talked about this anniversary as a reminder of the cost of war and hence the value of peace. We are marking VE Day in a very different world 5 years on from 2020. This is certainly a time to remember that often used statement, "Those who cannot remember the past are condemned to repeat it." This statement is generally attributed to George Santayana, a Spanish-born American philosopher. And maybe there's even a wee bit of irony in there, Spanish-born American philosopher. More important than the words of philosophers are the words of Scripture. We're going to turn now to our Bible readings, that great passage from the prophet Micah that we so often use on Remembrance Sunday, and then Paul's words to the church in Corinth. Claire is going to read for us.
The first reading this morning is from Micah, chapter 4, verses 1 to 4, and it's called The Peace of God. In the last days, the mountain of the Lord's temple will be established as the highest of the mountains. It will be exalted above the hills, and peoples will stream to it. Many nations will come and say, "Come, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the temple of the God of Jacob. He will teach us his ways, so that we may walk in his paths." The law will go out from Zion, the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. He will judge between many peoples and will settle disputes for strong nations far and wide. They will beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation will not take up sword against nation, nor will they train for war any more. Everyone will sit under their own vine and under their own fig tree, and no one will make them afraid, for the Lord Almighty has spoken. Our second reading is from 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 16 to 21, and is called Be Reconciled. So from now on, we regard no one from a worldly point of view. Though we once regarded Christ in this way, we do so no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. The old is gone, the new is here. All this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation, that God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting people's sins against them. And he has committed to us the message of reconciliation. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. Amen.
Hymn 710, I Have a Dream, a man once said.
Thank you.
During the past week, a number of events have taken place to mark the anniversary of VE Day, and I'm quite sure that you will have seen a number of them on television or maybe been there to observe, who knows. Perhaps we should, at this moment, remember Winston Churchill's words about pausing for a moment to celebrate the end of the war in Europe. He was very aware that this moment was a relief for some and not for others. Some would look forward to welcoming family members returning home. Others would bear the grief of loss. VE Day was victory in Europe. It would be another 3 months before war in the Far East would come to an end. Down through the years since 1945, many have commented that VJ Day is the poor relation compared with VE Day. And too often we think of VJ Day as something to do with the first and only use of atomic weapons, forgetting the suffering and sacrifice of so many men and women who served in the Allied forces or were taken prisoner as civilians. 6 months from today, we will be at Remembrance Sunday. And that means our national celebration. 2 days before that, of course, will have been the 11th of November. On Thursday this week, I took a walk along to the war memorial that lies between Limekilns and Charleston. I was there for the 2 minute silence at 12 noon. I passed a number of people who greeted me, and one or two said, "You're on a bit of a mission." And I said, "I'm going along to the war memorial. I thought it was appropriate to be at a war memorial for the 2 minute silence." Some had never heard that there was going to be a 2 minute silence. Others said, "Oh, it's at noon. I thought it would have been 11 o'clock." I discovered that actually around this area, not a lot of people were marking VE Day in the way that we might have expected. I'm glad I went to the Limekilns Memorial because it was very different. It was different because I couldn't stand there as I normally did. It's surrounded by safety fencing. The base of the war memorial is still standing, but the pillar and the capital are lying where they fell during the storms of winter. It was a kind of sad sight. And there was something about it that called to mind the archive footing of the destruction left behind by war. Cities across Europe and cities in the UK had been hit in a way that would have been unimaginable before the Second World War. VE Day marked the end of the war in Europe that had resulted in huge numbers of civilian deaths. The destruction of towns and cities had not only killed and wounded many, there were also huge numbers of refugees across Europe. Many historians regard the First World War as the first industrialised war, and the Second World War as something that completed that process. And of course, more civilians died in the Second World War than those who were in uniform. And maybe just a little aside here, Christian Aid that we've been supporting today and, well, this weekend, was born at the end of the Second World War, and it was the churches of Ireland and Britain and the UK that put together this charity to do something for the huge numbers of refugees in Europe. If you were watching documentaries on VE Day and news broadcasts during the week, you would have seen a lot of video footage and photographs of cities lying in ruins. In 1945, the ruined cities and people picking through streets where they had once lived, looking for the house that had once been theirs, is very reminiscent of what we are seeing today. Those pictures of cities in Ukraine, those pictures and video footage of the streets of Gaza. Have we learned anything? Just in case we forget how war in Japan ended, there are the cautious words of correspondents in Pakistan and India, and very careful words, words designed not to inflame the situation, because there is a fear of an escalating conflict in a place where there are nuclear weapons. And of course, we're living now with the hope that a fragile ceasefire will become a permanent ceasefire and might even lead to peace itself. In the back of many minds, there is that lesson from history that once a conflict begins, no earthly nation or power knows what will happen next. No matter how strong or how powerful, once conflict begins, it almost has a life of its own, and no one knows where it will lead. The readings for today's service are two of the suggested readings for VE celebration this Sunday, as published by the Church of England. Sadly, there wasn't a lot on the Church of Scotland website. So we read from the prophet Micah, a reading that is often used on Remembrance Sunday. And actually, when I went and checked, I don't think I've ever used this reading other than Remembrance Sunday. It's one of those great passages that promises a day of peace, a day when the authority of God will be acknowledged rather than any human power claiming the authority of God. The book of Micah has some pretty hard words of judgment for the people of Judah and Samaria. The passage we read today is the promise of God to make things right. In the passage today, the restoration of Jerusalem. What is not particularly obvious to us, but Jerusalem, the word itself, means city of peace. And Micah's vision is of the nations looking to God for peace, for justice and judgment. This is not about human authority, but the authority of God. And at the heart of this vision, that very visual picture of weapons being transformed into agricultural implements, a day when nation will not attack nation and no one will train for war. This is clearly the opposite of what humanity has done with every form of technology. From the sharpened flint of Stone Age times to nuclear science in our time, technology has been used for both life and death, for good and for evil. In the context of Micah, God's people are not exempt from the judgment of God, and Micah's words are uncompromising as he pronounces woe on those who plan iniquity, those who plot evil on their beds and then carry out their plans because they have the power to do so. And then we have Paul's second letter to the Corinthians. What humanity cannot do, God does. God is doing. Paul's words are about a ministry of reconciliation. In his letter to the Ephesians, Paul is clear that our fight is not against flesh and blood, it is a fight against evil. Flesh and blood is the worldly view of us and them. We are the righteous, they are the unrighteous. We have earned God's favour, they have earned God's judgment. Paul tells us that the reconciling power of Jesus is what makes us right with God. As those with no right, we are made righteous. This is all of God and not of us. Though we do have to make a choice. The choice is ours. Are we of God or not? But the reconciliation comes through Christ from God. In a very real sense, Micah's vision is made real in Christ. The motivating force behind the reconciliation Paul talks of is love, the infinite and eternal love of God. The love of God is what takes Jesus to the cross. As ambassadors of Christ, our calling is to take the love of God into the world for which Jesus died and to see in humanity those who are loved by God. It is right to hate evil, not least because of what it does to the perpetrator as much as the victim. We are called to be ambassadors of Christ. Jesus, who said, "Greater love has no one than this, that he lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do what I command." And a few verses later, "This is my command. Love each other." And in that first letter to the Corinthian church, Paul declares, "Love never fails." And so we are called to see in the other the image of God and to love that person because love, the love that Jesus talks about, has no limits. It's about love your enemy, not just your friend. To care for those who seek ill for you. To live out the faith that we declare. And to go back to 2 Corinthians, Paul says, "We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God." And that reminder, God made him who had no sin to be sin for us so that we might become the righteousness of God. When we step out the doors today, we are to be the righteousness of God. For we are Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. Amen. Before we have a prayer for others, we sing hymn 159, "Lord, for the years your love has kept and guided." that's going to lead us now in our prayers for others.
Our prayers for other people were written by the Right Reverend Colin Sinclair for the 75th anniversary of VE Day, when he was moderator of the General Assembly of the Church of Scotland. They're still relevant today, unfortunately. There will be a short silence after each prayer for our own prayers. So let us pray. Let us pray for nations still devastated by war, for their people and their leaders, for those who suffer the effects or memories of past wars, for veterans, for those who mourn, and for all innocent victims whose lives have been shattered by the cruelty of others. Let us give thanks for those who work for peace and liberty throughout the world, for the armed forces of the Crown, and for all who strive to bring an end to injustice and oppression. Let us pray for those in our own day who have grown weary or lost hope as a result of violence or terror or war. For all refugees and displaced people. For those who seek to address the causes of discord and distress. Let us give thanks for the reconciliation of former enemies, for the flourishing of goodwill between them, and for the many blessings we enjoy as a result of the sacrifices which have been made for peace. Let us pray for the young people of our own day and for all who will shape the future of this nation, that they may be inspired by those who have gone before them to serve as they have been served. As generations before us fought for peace, that the world may never again know such violence and destruction, may we work for peace and reconciliation in our own homes and communities, and to promote peace throughout the world. As they fought for justice, that the scourge of prejudice and oppression might never again take root in our societies, may we work for a world in which hatred and injustice may never have the final word, and where all people can flourish with dignity and hope. As they struggled so that the whole human family might know goodwill, security and freedom, may we always acknowledge how precious are the gifts which God has entrusted to us, and exercise the freedoms and responsibilities we have with gratitude and humility. And so, we pledge ourselves to serve you and all humankind in the cause of peace, for the relief of want and suffering, and for the praise of your name. May Almighty God, who has given us the will to undertake these things, bless us with the strength to perform them. Guide us by your Spirit. Give us wisdom, give us courage, give us hope, and keep us faithful now and always. And if you agree with that, all say Amen.
Hymn 167. Guide me, O thou great Jehovah. The love of God in your hearts, and the blessing of God Almighty, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit be with you and with all whom you love, now and forever.